From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 12, Text 23. Asya vijaya sata mulasvinala. Pancha skanda pancha rasa prashuti. Dashai dasha koli suparna nidas. Viva kalo vipalo rikam padustaha. There's only one sloka on that board, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just read text 22. Dve asyae pije shata mulas chinala. Pancha skanda pancha rasa prasutihe. Dashai dasa kurvi supanidas. Srival kalo ripala rikam pravistaha. Dve asya bije shata mulas chinala. Pancha skanda pancha rasa prasutihi. Dashai dasha kodvi suparnanidas. Shiva kalo ripalar kam pravistaha. How does he text 23? Alanti jaykam falamasya vidha brahme shara ekam aranyavasaha. Hamsaya ekam bahurupam nijyai mayamayam virasa veda vedam. You can do the word for word. Dre.
Two.
Asya.
Of
this tree.
Vijay.
Seed. Shata.
Hundreds.
Mulaha.
Of roots.
Tree.
Three.
Nalaha.
Lower
trunks.
Pancha.
Five.
Skanda,
upper trunks.
Pancha,
five.
Rasa,
steps.
Prashuti,
producing.
Dasha,
ten.
Eka,
plus
one.
Shakaha,
branches.
Dvi,
two.
Suparna,
of birds.
Nidaha,
a nest.
Three.
Three.
Valkalaha.
Types of
bark.
Dvi.
Two.
Valaha.
Fruits.
Arkam.
The sun.
Pravistaha.
Extending into.
Adanti.
They eat or enjoy.
Cha.
Also.
Ekam.
One.
Phalam.
Fruit.
Asya.
Of this tree.
Kriva.
Those who are lusty for material enjoyment.
Grame.
In household life.
Charaha.
Living.
Ekam.
Another.
Aranya.
In the forest.
Vasaha.
Those who live.
Hansa.
Sound like men.
Saintly persons.
Ya,
one who.
Ekam,
one only, the super soul.
Bahurupam,
appearing in many forms.
Ijaha,
by the help of those who are worshipable,
the spiritual masters.
Mayamayam, produced by the potency of the Supreme Lord. Veda knows. Sa, such a person. Veda knows. Vedam, the actual meaning of the Vedic literature. Translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. This tree of material existence has two seeds, hundreds of roots, three lower trunks and five upper trunks. It produces five flavors and has 11 branches and a nest made by two birds. The tree is covered by three types of bark, gives two fruits and extends up to the sun. Those lusty after material enjoyment and dedicated to family life enjoy one of the tree's fruits, and swan like men in the renounced order of life enjoy the other fruit. One who, with the help of the bona fide spiritual masters, can understand this tree to be a manifestation of the potency of one supreme truth appearing in many forms, actually knows the meaning of Vedic literature. So good. The two seeds of this tree are sinful and pious activities, and the hundreds of roots are the living entities, innumerable material desires, which chain them to material existence. The three lower trunks represent the three modes of material nature, and the five upper trunks represent the five gross and material elements. The tree produces five flavors, sound, form, touch, taste, and aroma, and has 11 branches, the five working senses, the five knowledge acquiring senses, and the mind. Two birds, namely the individual soul and the super soul, have made their nest in this tree, and the three types of bark are air, bile, and mucus, the constituent elements of the body. The two fruits of this tree are happiness and distress. Those who are busy trying to enjoy the company of beautiful women, money, and other luxurious aspects of illusion enjoy the fruit of unhappiness. One should remember that even in the heavenly planets there is anxiety and death. Those who have renounced material goals and taken to the path of spiritual enlightenment enjoy the fruit of happiness. One who takes the assistance of bona fide spiritual masters can understand that this elaborate tree is simply the manifestation of the external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is ultimately one without a second. If one can see the Supreme Lord as the ultimate cause of everything, then his knowledge is perfect. Otherwise, if one is entangled in Vedic rituals or Vedic speculation, without knowledge of the Supreme Lord, he has not achieved the perfection of life. Om Vyasamiranda Sayakyanam Vinashilakaya Chakshum Militanyana Tatsnaya Shri Guru Namaha Panchakalpa Tribhishta Kita Sindhu Vyavacha Pakitanam Parnirya Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vrathar Siva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna. So this is, I think, the second last verse, which will end the canto 11, in which Krishna has been instructing Sri Uddhava. And basically what's being explained here, Krishna is giving Uddhava explanations about his different opulences, basically guiding Uddhava to take the association of pure devotees, and by doing that he can attain Krishna. So Krishna has been explaining the material body. So this analogy that's being given, of course, the tree, in the last two verses or so, it's explaining how the tree is compared to the material body. And the first part of the purport is explaining how this body is made up of different elements, gross and subtle elements, and how the living entity in his conditioned state is trying to enjoy this tree to the best of the ability. So Krishna is giving all this knowledge, explaining to Uddhava in such a way that he will use it to liberate himself. And for a devotee, of course, liberation means surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna. It doesn't mean merging or attaining different types of perfections like that. So I'll be discussing three things in this short space of time, which I hope I'll be able to do so properly. The first point that actually comes up for me in this entire chapter, Krishna is explaining, of course, his different energies, whether it's in the material or the spiritual world, and how the nature of the conditioned soul and the nature of the soul in general is that we all have this pleasure-seeking, you could say, nature. So just as the inherent nature of water, and water in its natural state is liquid, so the living entity has this nature of wanting to enjoy. But of course there are certain ways to enjoy, and Krishna is explaining that when the living entity wants to enjoy, it can only enjoy naturally by serving the Supreme Lord. But by artificially trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, that's when we start suffering in the material world. So Krishna in the purport is giving two types of people who may take their birth in this material world or in materialistic situations. And Krishna is explaining the transcendentalists, the swan-like personalities, and he's also explaining those who are after sense enjoyment. So Krishna is making these two distinctions, that both of them, yes, they are in their environment, they are exposed to the different five elements, they're exposed, you know, they have a body constitution, bile, mucus, air. You know, there's the mode of material nature, which is around these two different classes of people. But how they enjoy in this world is completely separate, although they're in the same environment. So we know that the swan is a very is a bird in very much in the mode of goodness. So a swan is able to extract milk out of water. So it's very pertinent to this section, because although we may be living in this material world, which is Krishna's creation, which is perfect, which is complete for a specific reason, we can be able to extract the goodness and the transcendental activities within this material world, just as a swan is able to extract milk from a solution of milk and water. So it's a very mystical thing how that happens. So it's a very, it's actually a perfect example, it's a perfect analogy that Krishna is using for Uddhava to be able to understand. So the first half of this purport is explaining all the different potencies of Krishna, the material nature basically, the different gross elements. It's explaining how we have the material modes of nature which are acting. It's explaining what constitutes our body. It's explaining our working senses, our knowledge-acquiring senses. So all of these energies, although they are part of the apara prakriti, Krishna's inferior energy, and we are para prakriti, we are Krishna's superior energy, we have this bundle, we have this tree, this materialistic, this body made of matter, but we have to act in a specific way with this tree. We have to elevate ourselves, although we are in the midst of material creation. So Krishna is giving all these explanations, detailed explanations. He's given knowledge to Uddhava. And at the end of the chapter, Srila Prabhupada in the purport is explaining how we use this knowledge of understanding Krishna's different energies to elevate ourselves. And in that way, we don't get attached to further redefining the knowledge that we have, or in further elevating ourselves with knowledge. So Krishna, as also in Bhagavad Gita, is explaining how we use this knowledge of the Vedas to cut down this tree of material existence, and we elevate ourselves, because we know that scripture is in the mode of goodness. So by studying, we can also get stuck onto that mode, but we're trying to elevate ourselves into the mode of transcendental knowledge. So we use this knowledge to make ourselves aware and understand the potency, the different powerful energies of Krishna, which also constitute his material energy. So one may ask, why do we want to enjoy, and how is it that a transcendentalist can also enjoy? But that's simply because that enjoying nature, that enjoying spirit is coming from Krishna, and we're part and parcel of Krishna. So it's natural for the living entity to want to enjoy. It's natural for the living entity to have relationships, to express themselves, because it's coming from Krishna. So these are all natural tendencies of the living entity. It's nothing unnatural for us to enjoy. So with this enjoyment, of course, it's not only limited to the human form of life. We have 8,400,000 different species, and in all of them there is enjoyment specifically molded for each body. So we know that the birds, the pigeons, they enjoy the prasadam outside, and they enjoy basking in the sun. We have the piggies and the piglets, they're enjoying as well. They have their families, they do so many things. So the way in which the material world is designed is that every living entity, no matter how advanced or how degraded it is, Krishna has supplied everything, all the ingredients, so that they may be able to enjoy. So not only for the human form of life, but even in the lower species, you do have enjoyment according to the degree of consciousness. But moving on, we have what's explained in the Prabhupada. The two birds that are within the tree, and of course we understand from Bhagavad Gita that the two birds is the Jivatma and the Supersoul. So one bird is vigorously trying to extract and squeeze out any kind of enjoyment it may have with contact with the senses. And of course the other bird is just a witness, and that is the Supersoul, that is Krishna, because Krishna doesn't need to enjoy. He's Atmaram, he's self-satisfied, so he doesn't need to extraneously try and enjoy. But he's just there waiting for the soul to actually turn and try and take shelter, try and take guidance of him. But the soul, depending on the desires, can either desire to enjoy separately with Krishna, or he can enjoy with Krishna. So basically these desires that we concoct, these desires that we produce, they lead to suffering or enjoyment in this material world. One of the two. We either suffer or we're going to enjoy in the material world. So in this knowledge of understanding Krishna's different potencies in the material world, explained by Srila Prabhupada in the Sri Shopanishad, and Srila Prabhupada explains how this Ishopanishad is part of the Ayurveda, and it gives information about the proprietorship of everything within existence. So wherever we may be in the material creation, whether we're aware of it or not, actually everything is maintained, is created, and is provided by the Lord. So everything that we get, from the gross elements to the subtle elements, is all coming from Krishna. So I'll just read the invocation. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasa Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vasishyate. And the translation is, the personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because He is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from Him, He remains the complete balance. So Krishna, as this bird on the tree, Krishna doesn't have to try and enjoy separately, because He is Purnam, He is complete. And although everything else is coming from Him, that doesn't mitigate or that doesn't diminish His completeness. He remains as He is. But the spirit soul, being a minute spark, part and parcel of Krishna, is dependent on Krishna to enjoy. And the minute the living entity tries to enjoy separately, then we see this suffering and a little bit of enjoyment that comes and goes in the material world. So this is what happens. The material world produces two kind of things. It makes us distinguish good and bad, you know, honor, dishonor, heat, cold, all these dualities. And at the same time, if we stick to that, then we start seeing the material creation as being separate from Krishna. But you understand that the material creation is not separate from Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. It's Krishna's aparaprakriti. It's Krishna's inferior energy, and we're the superior energy. And we're supposed to understand that. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains that because we don't know that there's a complete arrangement in the universe, because we have forgotten that Krishna ultimately is the proprietor, he's the creator, maintainer, and the annihilator, we then try to make our own separate endeavors to enjoy. So when we try and make those separate endeavors to enjoy, that's when the suffering keeps coming over and over again. So it's this forgetfulness, this lack of knowledge of Krishna's, how Krishna's energy is working, that we choose, that we end up in such a miserable condition of existence, like that. So this is the part of in the text of us having this enjoying spirit and what to do about it. So we can enjoy with Krishna by getting to understand his energies, his potency, even especially the material energy. Because when we understand how Krishna is operating, when we understand what exactly this material energy can do to the conditioned soul, then we can start acting. Otherwise, then we can use the knowledge to sharpen the intelligence, and we can use the knowledge to elevate and liberate ourselves and engage in pure unalloyed devotional service. So this is what the living entity is supposed to do with knowledge of Krishna. And the second thing, of course, that can only come, as the text is saying, by accepting the help that we get from the spiritual masters. So we have different acharyas in our line who have written different books, and of course we have Srila Prabhupada, who has given his transcendental purports for us to be able to understand, you know, the intricacies of Krishna's different potencies, Krishna's different energies. So in Bhagavad Gita, in the Ishvarisha Upanishad, it's explaining how Krishna, you know, Krishna's here and Krishna's there, Krishna's in a boat, Krishna's slow, Krishna's quick. So it's explaining all these different contradictions of Krishna. And if we may think it's so difficult to understand Krishna's energy, how can we understand him as a person? How can Krishna be in my heart and at the same time be everywhere, be all pervasive? How can he be here in the material world and not get affected by it, and at the same time be in the spiritual world where he never leaves, where he's residing eternally? So sometimes the knowledge can get a bit bewildering, and it can kind of make us confused, because we still have a conditioned attitude, we still have a conditioned mind and intelligence. This is why it's important to accept the help that's given to us by the spiritual masters. Because as the Bhagavad Gita is explaining, that the self-realized souls, they have seen the truth, and they're living according to the Shastra. So they've not only understood the goal of the Vedas, but they've realized it as well. So we can read and understand, but we also have to realize this knowledge that's being given to us. And that comes by the mercy of the spiritual masters. So as I explained, that everything, there's a perfect plan for everything in this universe. We know with the food pyramid or the chain of existence, you know, there's, you know, you have your worms, which are there for a specific reason. You have vultures, they're there for a specific reason. You have human beings, you have cows, you have the grass. So everything is so designed for a specific time to be maintained, and then it's annihilated, and then it's created again. So everything is actually working perfectly, because it's designed by the all-perfect, complete personality, Krishna. But because we don't know all of this, we start thinking, I'm going to start generating all this knowledge for myself, and I'm going to make all my conclusions and summarize what my existence is about. And I remember one time when I was in Russia, we were playing a tennis tournament, and it was raining, And apparently we're being told that the scientists, they're going to stop the weather from raining. The scientists, they're going to make it very hot. For 1 week, there will be no rain. And of course, for 1 week, it was raining. So we can, with our little material intelligence, try to figure out where the clouds are going to form and make sure that there's no water to evaporate up, you know, towards the sun, and then cut out so many things with the knowledge that we've acquired by ourselves. And never mind the material nature, which is so powerful. And Bhagavad Gita is explaining, you know, prakriti kriyamani gunani savasha ahankar vimudat makarta hamiti manyate, that although, you know, the material nature is pushing everything, but the bewildered spirit soul thinks that it's actually in control, making everything work. We can make, you know, the sun work in a specific way. We can stop the wind from occurring. Never mind, you know, how everything is designed, how there is, you know, the sun coming up in the morning, how the moon shines at night. Everything is completely designed. But at the same time, because of this lack of knowledge, because of this avidya, this ignorance, we're still thinking we can redesign the entire creation and make it suitable for us to enjoy. So when you start thinking like this, then, you know, nothing can ever be enlightened in our existence. We'll always remain in a dark situation. And that is what the ahankar, that's what avidya, this deep ignorance, can do to us. So Krishna, not only does he provide for the transcendentalist or the swan-like personality, but he's also providing for these those who want to enjoy the senses, or those who want to enjoy, you know, name, fame, prestige, all these things. Krishna's provided the material creation and its different ethics. So we may have different personalities who have achieved different things in the world. We have people like Mother Teresa or Mohandas Gandhi, and we have Srila Prabhupada, and can see the difference in the way in which they were acting within this material world, and we can see with their actions who was so transcendent, who was above the modes of material nature. Some were more on the mode of goodness, but there's even a higher nature towards the mode of goodness. And we can also see what things that happen in this phenomenal world. We can see with personalities like Che Guevara or Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Stalin. We can see all these different personalities who were having a good time trying to enjoy by making others suffer, or who were trying to enjoy by increasing their wealth, their reputation, all these different things. So because of these desires of them wanting to enjoy in a perverted way, well, the material energy provides opportunities for them to express that enjoyment, and of course they get the hot end of the stick, because then when you're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, you know, it's, you can't win, you can't really enjoy, it's suffering. So like that, everything is being provided by Krishna. And when we get the help of a spiritual master, we get all this knowledge, then we can raise ourselves to the platform of transcendental knowledge. Not only do we get attached to having that knowledge and trying to redefine that knowledge all the time, but we use that knowledge to liberate ourselves by surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is, Krishna is actually making this point to Uddhava, because of course Krishna is about to leave the material world, and the Yadu dynasty, they're about to leave, and Krishna is giving Uddhava instructions as to understanding the nature of this material existence, and using that understanding to further push him towards performing pure devotional service, where he can always be in connection with Krishna, where he can be in this material world but still be a transcendentalist, still be like a swan and just extract the nectar, although it's amidst all this different things in the material world. So he's given a lot of jnana, he's given a lot of knowledge which will further him in his performance of devotional service. So I'll just read a little bit from the purport here. So the first half is describing basically all the different elements of this tree. the two birds, the soul and the super soul, is being described, and how the soul, of course, is trying to endure, and the super soul is waiting patiently, trying to help the soul wake up out of its miserable condition. And you have the different senses, your knowledge acquiring senses, you have the modes of material nature acting upon us, and we have our constitution of, according to Ayurveda, bile, mucus and air. So the first half, the servants of Srila Prabhupada are describing what this analogy that's given, and the second half, of course, is describing this enjoying propensity, whether it's in the company of the opposite sex or whether it's luxurious aspects like wealth and money, great intelligence, all these things. And one thing that they mention, of course, in the purport is that we should always remember that even in the heavenly planets there will be anxiety and death, because sometimes we might, you know, we might think the heavenly planets there is much better than you know, Bhumandala, it's much better than this earth planet, so we can live for a longer period and we can enjoy much better. But of course, it's stated here that there will be anxiety and there will be death, because there will be so many others who are enjoying as much as you. There will be so many others who enjoy more than we'll be enjoying as well. And that always creates an anxiety. And we know, of course, with our examples while growing up, or just reading or hearing from people that you meet on the street or anywhere, you know, you try so hard to acquire something, and then your neighbor, you know, he has something else. So that creates an anxiety. You want to get better than what the other person has. So you work hard, you struggle, and then you finally get it, and then he has something better, and then you also want to get it. Or you have your iPod, which is a simple, you know, 2 gigabytes, and then they bring out something else with like 56 megabytes or whatever, and then you want to get that, and then 2 weeks later there's something from China that's released, and then you also want to get that. And then 2 days later you find something from Apple, so there's always this need to want to just get more. So in the heavenly planet it's like that. There's so much that we'll always want to be enjoying more and more pleasures, but there will always be that anxiety of how long will I have it and will it last. So it's very easy for us to understand that now, because we know that we may struggle to get so many things, but it ultimately it doesn't last long. It keeps on diminishing, and that's the nature of existence in this material world. Whatever we get, it will slowly start diminishing and finishing off. So even in the heavenly planets, we will be subjected to this anxiety and death. As soon as we see that our garland starts drying up, that's when we know we're going down. We're leaving the heavenly planets. We're coming back to planet Earth. So there can't be any state of mental equilibrium or peace while you're in such a situation, because you're pushed by anxiety and fear. So when you get pushed by anxiety and fear, you won't be in a tranquil position. You won't be in a steady, you won't be a sober person. And that's what we need. We need to be sober in order to properly execute devotional service. One who takes the assistance of the bona fide spiritual masters can understand that this elaborate tree is simply the manifestation of the external potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is ultimately one without a second. So although it's the Krishna's inferior energy, it is Krishna's energy. And it's there for a reason, and we should understand why we have such an energy and how we should not get attached to living in such a condition. And for ourselves, we can understand it a little bit, but we also need to realize it, or we need to have it repeated to us over and over again so that we can understand more, so that it sinks in. That's why we have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every single day, and we hear different classes, because we constantly need to be reminded all the time. And then lastly, this point I was mentioning about how we don't know about the completeness of Krishna's creation. that everything is created in a specific time, it's maintained for a specific time, and then it's destroyed. And this happens naturally by the sanction of Krishna. It happens naturally by Krishna's will. So we can't really claim to possess anything in this world, because it's all loaned to us by the Supreme Lord, and at the end everything goes back to Him as well. And I was thinking yesterday, Bhakta Prabhu, when he was giving the Sunday feast class, he was explaining how when we come into this world, we come naked and we leave naked. So you have this material body. When it's dead, it's just going to merge into, it's going to be eaten by worms, and it's just going to vanish. You know, everything we've created, you know, the houses, the cars, they're just going to, with time, they're just going to get destroyed. The only thing that we can produce in this material world is the desires. We can desire, because that's the little minute independence that the individual soul has. We can have desires. So depending on what our desires are, we either suffer or we can be promoted by understanding this knowledge Krishna is giving. And also, once one comes to the point of wanting to understand this complete arrangement that Krishna is providing for us, then we actually stop ourselves from further and further getting entangled in this material world. So by having this knowledge, we elevate ourselves, we come to the point of wanting to surrender. Because everything, as I'm saying, and I'm repeating it over and over again, because I'm also trying to convince myself, because everything is coming from Krishna, everything is maintained by Krishna. And we can't, if we do try to make a separate endeavor, we'll just be baffled in our attempts to try and enjoy. So everything in this world falls either under Krishna's paraprakriti or Krishna's aparaprakriti, one of the two. So one who has knowledge of this, of course, is a very intelligent person. And I'll just give an example of one pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where you have a personality who, with the knowledge that he has gained, surrenders everything to Krishna, because he realizes that ultimately everything belongs to Krishna. So who am I to try and restrict Krishna to having proprietorship, because ultimately it is his, it's created by him. So just as the proper way to use all our facilities is to offer it back to Krishna. Just as people or devotees, when they go to the holy dam, they worship the Ganges river with Ganges water. So you offer everything back to Krishna. And that way Krishna becomes pleased, because that's the first sign of us admitting, okay, you know, everything belongs to you. Whatever we use is for your pleasure. Even this material body, it belongs to Krishna. It's created by Krishna. The material universe can only start working once Krishna activates it by glancing over the material nature and injecting life into all different species like that. So we have in the 8th canto the pastime of Bali Maharaj, who took over the kingdom from Lord Indra. So of course Bali Maharaj had a lot of devotional qualities, because he was coming from the line of Prahlad Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj had a spiritual master who was explained by Srila Prabhupada that he was more of a karma, he was more inclined to karma kanda, and that's Sukracharya. And Srila Prabhupada is describing how he was smarter brahmana. So Bali Maharaj, when approached by the dwarf incarnation of the Lord Vamanadev, because he was a very religious person, a person who followed Vedic principles, he never at any point would disappoint a brahmana or would tell a lie for a brahmana, and he would always give brahmanas, especially if it's a brahmin brahmachari, everything that they needed, everything they asked from him, he would give. He wouldn't hold back anything. And at the same time, he had this understanding, and his spiritual master would chastise him and tell him, this is not an ordinary, you know, this is not an ordinary brahmachari. This is the Supreme Lord. This is Vishnu. He is on the side of the demigods. So you showing him your favor is going to be to your detriment. So like that, Sukracharya was trying to entice his disciple, of course, Bali Maharaj, not to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And of course, Bali Maharaj, even though Sukracharya ended up cursing him that he will lose everything, he didn't mind because he knew that ultimately everything is belonging to Krishna. And if he does lose anything, it will all be taken by the three paces of land, three paces of steps that Lord Vamana will be taking. So it didn't really matter for him because he knew, yes, this is Vishnu. And he's the proprietor, he's the owner of everything. I can't hold on to anything. He created everything in existence. So ultimately everything belongs to him. So Bali Maharaj was captured by the ropes of Vasuki and presented to Lord Vamana. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj came, and when Prahlad Maharaj came, Srila Prabhupada explains how, you know, Bali Maharaj would drop his head because he knew he would get chastised. And I'm sure we can all relate to that when we've done something when we were young kids and the parent comes, we just want to look down, we don't want to look on them. Or if we've done something wrong, naturally our head just tilts because there's a little bit of shame that can happen in the heart. So although that was happening, and at the same time, Bali Maharaj's wife offered one prayer which summarizes actually this discussion that's happening between Krishna and Uddhava. And I'll just read the translation. It's the 22nd chapter and it's text number 20 of the 8th canto. And she says, "Oh my Lord, you have created the universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes, but foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics. Falsely claiming proprietorship, they think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe?" So it's a very... I really like this prayer a lot because it kind of summarized the two types of people that are addressed here, that Krishna comes and enjoys his pastimes in the world, and of course that gives pleasure to the swan-like personalities, to the transcendentalists. That's where we derive our pleasure, where Krishna is and his internal potency. But then the shameless agnostics, or those who are claiming proprietorship over the material nature, they're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, and that's and they're also trying to give charity and at the same time enjoy. So that's a very lowly position that they're trying to take themselves. So in such a condition, she said, what good can they do for you? So basically, if we're in this material world and we're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, we're trying to enjoy this tree that we've been given, then gradually, sooner or later, this tree is going to be chopped off and we'll have to come back and get another tree, get another material body. So the most intelligent thing to do, of course, is to surrender our intelligence, surrender all our senses in practicing devotional service, which is what in the next text 24, Krishna tells Arjuna that, Krishna is telling Uddhava that he should use this knowledge that he's giving him and elevate his consciousness. And after doing that, he should then engage in pure devotional service. So it's not that jnana knowledge is the highest understanding you can have in self-realization. You can have all the knowledge, but then you won't realize Krishna. You only realize Krishna by practicing devotional service. And that's where we apply what we're reading. That's when we apply what we've heard from the scripture and from the spiritual masters. So Krishna then tells Uddhava, just drop all this knowledge once you've understood it and just engage in my pure, unalloyed devotional service. And that's how you can get to know Krishna, which is the goal of the Vedic scriptures. So the last line of this purport for this canto, it says, "Give up the acts of analytical knowledge by which you have cut down your sense of proprietorship and residence in the material world." So once you've understood, you've already cut down our inclinations to want to enjoy, our inclinations to want to be Krishna. And then we just cut everything off from enjoyment in this material world and we engage in Krishna's service. So that is the message that Krishna is giving Uddhava in this section. shall stop here and ask if anyone has any question or comment or correction. Grandchild, Srila Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada.